Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity on this a day that we have set aside to worship thee and to glorify thy name. And so, Father, we have thy word before us, and that comforts us, knowing it is a word of power and a word of life. And so we just pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless a meditation to us, Lord, that thy word would have its free course in our lives, and that it would be alive within us, and that we would have the grace to live thereby and to bless and magnify thy name by living according to this thy word. And so may thy spirit work in our hearts as we commune one with another and speaking of this great word, Lord, that is before us. And this we do pray and ask it in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our reading this afternoon, let's turn to Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, knowing not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for honor, glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these, not having the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things which are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision thus transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. May God bless the reading of his word. There was a time in the history of Israel where they had left Egypt and had traveled through the wilderness, and they were at the Jordan River getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Moses was dead, and Joshua had become the one who would lead them over into the promised land and would lead the conquest of the children of Israel into that land of Canaan and take over that land from the nations that were in there that had committed adultery and or who were serving false gods. And the Lord spoke directly to Joshua. The Lord spoke to him and said, "Be strong and very courageous, that thou mightest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, had commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And the Lord further said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The Lord himself was telling Joshua, "Put the law that I had given to Moses in your mind. Let it ferment there. Let it be there. Let it settle in your mind that's what you would be thinking about. And then when you are thinking about the law that I had given, that is what you will do. Because you've been thinking about it, and then that's what you will do." And so the Lord is telling Joshua, "Observe to do all that I have commanded." Key words there in verses 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 1. Observe to do. Observe to do. You heard the message. Let it be something that you're meditating on. And when you do, when you observe to do all that I've commanded, then your way shall be prosperous, and then you will have great success. The Lord Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Those that would do, just as Joshua was instructed to observe to do all that is written in the law, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is instructing us likewise, and he's telling us, not those that say, "Lord, Lord," that just verbalize it and just speak it but don't do, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord Jesus is telling us that those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven will be part of the kingdom of heaven. And so, with that thought, let's consider this chapter that we read this afternoon, that we are to observe to do, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do the will of the Father, not simply to be hearers only, not to come up with ideas, not to talk about things, but to do what God would have us to do. And so the context of this chapter that we read this afternoon is that the Jews felt that they were superior to the Gentiles. They were the ones that knew what God wanted, and they were going to school and instruct those Gentiles that didn't know what God wanted. But yet they had sin of themselves. The Jews had sin in their own lives. And so the Apostle Paul is bringing that to their attention. He's saying, "Thou therefore art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." So the Jews weren't superior to the Gentiles if they were also in sin. Though they might have known the law, if they were sinning just as the Gentiles were sinning, they were in the same camp. And so he says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. God's judgment is true. And so it doesn't matter whether you are a Gentile or a Jew, the judgment of God is according to truth against those who would sin. And he says, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? If you're saying that the Gentiles should not be doing this, but I'm doing the same thing, that I'm going to somehow escape the judgment of God, it's not possible. But God is rich in goodness and in forbearance and in long-suffering, and it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That's the goodness of God. The goodness of God has patience toward us and forbearance, and it's rich, and he's rich in this. And in his goodness. And he wants us to lead us to repentance. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. But if we have an impenitent heart, meaning a non-repentant heart, and we have a hard heart, we're storing up the wrath of God against us. And the Apostle Paul is making that very clear to the Jews here. And it should be very clear in our lives, too, because most of us here have been raised in church, and we've known from a very early age what the will of God is and what his desire is for all mankind. And we are to exercise ourselves in doing good, to observe to do good, to do what God would have us to do according to his will. In verse number 6 and verse number 11 are verses that go together where it says, who will render, God will render to every man according to his deeds. And then there is no respecter of persons with God. We read that last Sunday afternoon, how that the Apostle Peter, it became very clear that the Lord was teaching him that God is not a respecter of persons, but all people who fear him and do his commandments and do his will be blessed by him. And so Cornelius was one that was devout, that feared God with all of his house, that gave alms to the people, and he prayed always. And so there was a great blessing to him because he did what God would have him to do. He yielded himself to the Lord, and because of that, blessings came in his life, and the Apostle Peter came and preached the gospel to him, and he received the Holy Spirit and was baptized. So the Lord will render to every man according to his deeds. And so we are being encouraged. Put off the old deeds. Put off those former deeds and do what God would have us to do. Observe to do all that is written according to the law. Observe to do what would be according to the will of God. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing, in doing well, in doing good works, seek for glory and honor, immortality, they receive eternal life. Those who in patience are doing well, are doing good deeds, are fulfilling the will of God in their lives, are furthering the kingdom, who are being used by him, they will receive eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what they receive is indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Every soul that does evil, they will receive this indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. These are the things we want in our lives, is it not? Glory, honor, and peace in our lives. As we honor the Lord and work good, working good, and he will bless abundantly when we are yielded to him, doing what he would have us to do, far beyond simply talking about things or coming up with great ideas or having good intentions. I will one day, I'll do these good things, but he's saying here, we will receive peace when we work good. And And then the key verse in this chapter that led me to this chapter is in verse number 13, where it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law." The doers of the law will be justified before God. The hearers of God's word and of his law are not justified before God. We can't come to an assembly and hear the word of God and say, well, now God is going to bless my life, and will richly fill me because I was a hearer of the word. He's saying, not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And don't get me wrong, certainly there is a great blessing in hearing the word of God, and that's why we are here, because we want to hear and we want to understand his will, and then we want to go forth and do his will, to do what he would have us to do. And so this is what he's saying here, is that the doers of the law shall be justified. We live by faith. We live by faith. And our faith is what justifies us before God. And this faith cannot abide alone. But this faith is followed by works that we reflect that Jesus Christ lives within us. The Spirit is operating in me. And he impels me, and he prompts me to do according to his will. To be a blessing to others, to serve others, to love others, and to do what God would have us to do. And then we'll be justified before God. And so he speaks here about, again, the Gentiles versus the Jews, and how when there's a Gentile who didn't grow up knowing the law or reading the law, but yet he does, by the conscience that he has, he does those things which are good, his uncircumcision is made circumcision. And likewise, or conversely, if a Jew who knows the law but doesn't do it, his circumcision that he has is made uncircumcision. And he has become unclean before God. And so he says here, that, "Behold, thou art a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide unto the blind, a light of them which are in darkness." And it goes on and on. The Jews often felt of themselves like that, that we are superior, we're greater than all the rest. These people don't know God. And we saw that displayed in the Gospels over and over, how the Jews just felt of themselves so highly. And so he's saying here, you're going to instruct others, but if you're not following that instruction, if you're living outside of that instruction, then you are also in sin. He says, "Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" All these things he's speaking of. If you're speaking of the law and that which Moses had brought, but yet you're guilty of committing against those things, You don't stand in any great favor with the Lord. And so it's incumbent upon all to live godly lives, to do that which would be good and right in his sight, to live according to his will. And so it speaks of that more in this chapter. And then at the very end he says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." That if you dress in the robes and the tassels and you haven't shaved your the locks of your hair, that's not what would make you to be a Jew. He's saying that what's on the outward, that's not what's making you a Jew. He says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. Circumcision of that of the heart, meaning we cut off evil and sin from our lives, from our hearts, and that we're meditating upon the Word of God. And when we're meditating upon the Word of God, we then fulfill the Word of God. What we put in is what comes out. What comes into our mind is what comes out in our behavior and in our speech and in all aspects of our lives. And so it's a lifestyle choice. Are we going to do what God would have us to do? Are we going to live the way he would have us to live? But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. We know that we want to worship God. We want to glorify his name. See, it was sad here that in this chapter it speaks that the Jews, when they sinned, they brought shame to their Lord. They brought shame to their Lord because they were walking in sin. But we can bring glory to the Lord when we walk according to his ways and when we magnify him and when we're far, far more interested in the praise of God and in pleasing him than in pleasing men. And then we are become one of his child, one of his children, and we were that where his law is written, not on tablets, but his law is written in our hearts. We don't serve an austere God, one who is just looking for us to walk in an evil way and then inflict judgment upon us. We have a God who loves us and who has this great desire to just open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, so much so that we cannot contain the blessing that God would have for us. And he's saying, I can tell you how it is that you will receive these blessings from heaven. He's saying, observe to do all that I have commanded you to do. And when you do all that I have commanded you to do, because you are meditating upon the law, your way will be prosperous, and then you will have great success. The Lord Jesus Christ says, not those that say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so when we do the will of our Father which is in heaven, then he opens up the windows of heaven and pours us out a blessing, so much so that we cannot contain it. The Lord Jesus Christ was teaching to a large group of people, and his mother and his brethren were outside of the crowd, and he was being told, Your mother and your brethren are outside, and they want your attention. And he says, well, who's my brother and who is my mother and my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands and he says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This is a blessing that the Lord wants to impart upon us, that we could be called a brother or a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do his will, when we engage in a lifestyle where his word is in our mind and we're thinking about it, and then we are doing what he would have us to do. We are busy in his kingdom. We are serving others. We are loving others. And we are doing these things. We have the privilege of being called the brother and sister to our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a great, great blessing that we have as those who would labor and work in his vineyard and be yielded and doing his will. The Lord Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet. And he says, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And he says, for I have given you an example that ye should do what I have done unto you. Action. Not speaking, not just simply hearing, not coming up with ideas, not debating and pontificating on how, what, and this and that, but doing the will of God. That's intentionality. That's a verb. That's action. Things are happening. There's a difference now because there was this action that was made. And so Jesus Christ is saying here, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. And then he says, If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Happy are ye if you do them. If we do what Jesus Christ would have us to do in serving others, in serving one another, in loving one another, in loving our neighbor, in loving our enemy, and serving one another, he says, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy as you do these things. We won't be happy because, well, I had a great idea, or I was able to convey something just perfectly. No, it's when we do something, when we do his will, we will be happy and we will be most blessed in our lives. And so going back to Romans chapter 2 and verse number 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And then we think of that parable that Jesus spoke about the Good Samaritan, about the Levite and the priest going around on the other side of the street around him that fell among the thieves. And then that Samaritan coming by and pouring that oil in, putting him upon a beast, taking him to an inn, paying the costs of the innkeeper to the innkeeper. He was doing. Who was doing? And the Lord Jesus Christ asked those that were he was speaking to, now, which one was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And the response was, well, to him that showed mercy. And Jesus Christ responds to them saying, go and do thou likewise. Do likewise. James speaks of this as well, have an active lifestyle, a lifestyle that's doing what God would have us to do. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When we hear the word, and we think, yeah, I understand that, and yeah, there have been times when I did some of these things as well. But he's saying when we're hearers only, we can deceive ourselves. We can lull ourselves into thinking that, well, we're in a pretty good place because we're hearing what God would have us to do. He says, but be ye doers of the word. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Joshua would be blessed in his deed. He would find his way to be prosperous, and he would have good success if he would but meditate upon the law that was given unto Moses, and if he would observe to do all that was written in that law. And here, James is saying the same thing, that a doer of the work shall be blessed in his deed. We can be a brother and a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have success and prosperous in our lives. We can be happy, and we can be blessed in our deed. And we can have eternal life in us if we but do what God would have us to do, that we would labor in his vineyard, and that we would be faithful servants of his, doing what he would have us to do. And so if we look at the first chapters of Romans, typically speak of the necessity of faith, and how if we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. And that's without works of the law. And James is one who would say that works without faith is dead. But they're both saying the same thing here in Romans chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul writes, not the hearers of the law are justified before God, but the doers of the word of God shall be justified. And so James is saying the same thing, that a doer of the work shall be blessed in his deed. James also says, speak not evil one of another. Just as Paul opened up in chapter 2 here, that we shouldn't judge others. He's saying here, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Does God need us to judge his law? Or does he want us to be a doer of the law, of the word of God? And so we are to be careful that, as we have read in Romans chapter 2 and in this verse here in James 4:11, that we are to exercise ourselves not in works of iniquity, but to do what God would have us to do, to be a blessing to other people's lives, to make their lives richer and fuller by having interacted with us. The Apostle John also writes, "And the world passeth away." And we're confident of that. I believe all of us here are just confident of that. This world is going to pass away. The evil is there, and it's in great measure. And at some point, we know that God is going to say, the time has come that Jesus Christ would come, and all his own would be taken up and be with him, and that this world will pass away. And so he says, and the world's going to pass away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that does the will of God, not just those that heard the word of God, but those that do the will of God, they abide forever. And so, again, the blessings that are ours when we do what God would have us to do are incredible, and they are great. They are in rich measure, that we can be called a brother and a sister to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be happy, that we can abide forever, that he would be with us, and that this world, though it be passed away, we will abide forever when we do the will of God. And so that's what he wants us to understand, and that's what we are here to be reminded of anew, that it takes intentionality. It's a lifestyle that we want to do what God would have us to do. You know, we're still early here in this year, 2022, but we've probably heard about 15 sermons already of this year. We've heard the Word of God, and we understand the Word of God. We understand it, we hear it, and we think to ourselves, yes, this is something good, and I want to walk in this way, but it takes intentionality, and we need to recall his Word. And think again of Cornelius, who was that devout man who gave alms unto the people, who prayed always, who feared God with all of his house. We need to be thinking about these things and the messages that have been coming forth, and let that be in our mind, and then live that out. Live that out. Do his will. And then when we do, we can have these rich, rich blessings, that we can be happy in him, that we can be called his brother and his sister, that we can make our way to be prosperous and successful in him, and that we can know that we have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom that will be administered unto us abundantly. Blessed be his name. The Apostle John writes in Revelation, the last book and last chapter of the Bible, and here's his exhortation to us as he closes out this book of the Bible. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in and through the gates into the city. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.